This is X. St. Anderson today. Welcome to the Principal Podcast. Today, I am thrilled to have with us Robert Hunt. Robert is the accountability guy, and he's the co-author of the book, Nobody Cares Until You Do. He's a business owner in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he helps leaders remove the things that keep them from being their best. He's an executive coach. He runs CEO groups in the Dallas-Fort Worth area since 2013. And we're just grateful to have him on the show. He's also, by the way, been married to his beautiful wife for 25 years. That's, by the way, one of the best accomplishments you can have. Grateful you shared that with us.
Yeah, she's the best. She's my best friend.
Awesome. Robert, thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So tell us a little bit about accountability. I mean, you call yourself the accountability guy. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, who'd want to be known by that? It's funny, the word accountability has such a negative connotation in it. And it usually is because someone's telling someone, I'm going to hold you accountable. It's like a threat. And if you don't do this, you're going to be accountable for that. And I think we grew up with that. And then we try to avoid it. But there's real power and freedom in accountability. And that needs to soak in for a minute. If you look at accountability as a bad thing, you're going to avoid it. But accountability actually gives you freedom and hope and power. And I see this in my own life. I walked a journey where I experienced it, which made me want to write this book. For the last 11 years, I've been running peer groups for business owners and CEOs. And I've watched those people who are truly accountable in their lives, in their personal and professional lives, and they're rocking it. And then I see the other people who are not accountable. And they're struggling, and they're not happy with their lives. And both sides of the equation have problems and challenges. But when you own the problem and challenge, you have the power to do something about it. If you don't own it, you're a victim, and everything happens to you, and nothing happens for you, and it's just miserable. There.
That is so empowering. I like that. You know, and you're right. Sometimes people think that accountability is this thing that's going to confine me. Somebody once described it to me a little bit like this. You know, if you have a skateboard, you can skate down the sidewalk. No, you're not really accountable to that many people. I mean, you might be able to go a few blocks or maybe even a mile or two or across town maybe. But when you take on more accountability, or you have actually even more things that you have to worry about, like, and be accountable for, like, for example, if you get a driver's license, right? So you're accountable for, you know, stopping at stoplights, you got to keep the speed limit, you got to keep the traffic rules, maintain your car.
Yeah.
But the freedom you have in a car is way, 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 way more than you have in a skateboard, right? And you could take that even a step further. If you get in an airplane, now you have to be accountable to air traffic control. You have to be accountable to, and I'm saying have to, but you get to be accountable to these things. But now you could fly in a jet, you could fly across the ocean. So even though you have less accountability with your skateboard, I mean, nobody's really worrying if you're skating the right way. And if you're in an airplane, a lot of people are worrying if you're doing it right, and you have to be accountable for those rules. You have more freedom. You can fly across the world rather than just across the, you know, a few blocks, right?
Great way to talk about it. I think part of the deal is that we're not using the words right. The first thing to point out is no one can hold anyone accountable. We say that all the time, but you can't. You can't hold me accountable. You can create a place where I want to be accountable. You can model accountability by the way you behave, and I could want to do it like you're doing it, but you can't make me be accountable. And we use that word in the wrong way. And so then really, if I'm the one holding you accountable, I'm the one who's being accountable. You're not. You're just something being obedient, right? And so what we kind of take that as a starting point, that no one can do it for you. No one can make you. The second point is there's a difference between responsible and accountable. Irresponsible is just think it like you're responding to something. If something goes bad, you have a company, you have a bunch of employees. If they screw up, if the customer calls and they're rude to them, you could be responsible for the angry customer and the problems that you occur. But if you're accountable, then you need to proactively train that employee to talk nice to people. You have to teach them why we don't bark back at an angry customer. You have to create a culture where there's values and an environment where people feel loved and cared for, so they're not walking in with anger, so that when someone calls and is rude to them, they don't lose their mind. You're accountable to proactively create the environment where the results you want occur or are more likely to occur. Being responsible is just saying, I take the blame for everything. And a leader who just runs around taking the blame for everything is not getting the results they want. Accountability truly is a proactive effort towards the life or business that you genuinely want.
I love that. And it sounds to me, so to be accountable, let me see, make sure that I'm defining it in the way that you're talking about here. It's keeping, making and keeping commitments to yourself. You hold yourself accountable, correct?
Yes. Yeah. You do it for yourself, to yourself. That's right.
I love that.
And imagine if everybody was truly being accountable to themselves and we all just owned our junk, which is really the simplest definition of accountability is you own it. If I just own my junk, I want to have a good marriage so I don't have to get divorced. And if you get divorced, then the kids got to live at two houses and then you got to pay alimony and then you got problems, you take stress to work. So to have a marriage I want, I have to proactively create the marriage that I want. I have to do stuff towards it. If I want to have kids, I have to proactively do things to help my son to grow up to be a godly young man. He's not just going to happen to be that way. I have to teach him to be kind and humble. I have to do stuff with him and take him on trips and go and serve our neighbors and, do things. You have to proactively. Same with your finances. There's a really startling statistic the IRS put out that said at the end of of our lives, if 100 people, you track their lives, at the end of the time, one person will be rich. Three people will be well off. 33 or something people will do okay for the rest of their lives. But 54% people will have to have someone else to take care of them until they die. But you have 50 years to plan for your retirement. 50 years. You're not accountable to what you want at the end, which is I don't want to have to live in a home where they neglect me and they don't feed me and I have bad medical care or beg my family to let me live with them or live off the government's money. You know it's coming, man. You got 50 years. So be accountable to what you want later on by proactively doing the things, even if it's not fun. You own it. You're accountable to create the retirement, the future, the life that you want.
I really, really like that. To take responsibility. It reminded me of something, and I want your opinion on this, Robert. You know, I've heard it said, all of our problems fall into one of three categories. All of our challenges or problems fall into one of three categories. Stuff we have 100% control of over. So, like, if I'm getting speeding tickets, the answer is for me to slow down and take my foot off the metal. I have 100% control how hard I put that pedal to the metal. Second category is things that have to do with other people's decisions, which are, other people's attitudes, their behaviors. That would be relationships. And the third category would be things that are totally 100% outside of our control. So, like the weather or even what you did in the past. But the point is, every single one of your problems falls into category one, stuff you have 100% control over. Category two, stuff you don't have total control over, but you have some, which are relationships. You have some influence. Let's use word influence rather than control. And then we have things you have zero influence over, which is things like the weather or your past. But in all three of those, the answer is to change you, right? So, like, if I want a better relationship with my son or my daughter, like you were talking about, and I want him to be a godly man, like you're talking about, what I need to do is, and maybe if I'm worried he's going down the wrong path or she's going around the path, the answer is to change my approach. In category two, you can change your approach. Category three, you can change your attitude. Category one is obvious, you can just change what you're doing. But in every single problem we have, the answer is to change us. That's what I'm. Would you agree with that or no? And what are your
Yeah,
thoughts?
that's exactly, it's the simplest thing. It's you own it, right? You own whatever you can do. I can't control most of the things that go on in life. I think 90% of what happens to us in life, we really can't control. But the 10% that we can actually do something about, we need to own that. And so I grew up as a really poor kid with a very angry, abusive father. And I watched him beat my mom and beat us kids many times growing up. So when I got older, I could be an angry guy who beat his wife and beat his kids. But I knew that wasn't right. And so I had to change that. I had to own the journey that I went through, and I had to let go and forgive my father, who was a broken guy. He had all kinds of issues. And I had to decide going forward, I don't know how to be a dad, but I know it's not that. So let's just figure something else. So I had to own that. And then as I got older, you grow up, you face challenges, you lose a job, you have health issues, all these things. It's really how you respond to it, but you own the response. And that gives you power. Because if I lose my job, I could be miserable or I can go find a better job. It's totally up to you. You own it.
I love taking ownership. You own it. I love that. What are some things that people could do who want to become more accountable? If somebody says, you know what, I realize I'm not being as accountable as I should have. I'm not, I don't have a retirement, or I don't have what I need planned, and I want to change. What would you say? What would you tell them?
The first thing you do to figure out that if you're being accountable or not is to take a satisfaction assessment. Go to our website, nobodycaresbook.com, and for free, you can take a satisfaction assessment. We don't ask your personal information, like who you are. Take the assessment and then look at it and be honest, be radically honest. Like, no one's going to read this because you don't even have to print it, you just throw it away. And be honest and decide where are you satisfied or not. And then based on that, if you're not satisfied, figure out why. And a lot of times we'll say one of these four answers. We'll blame something or someone. We'll make an excuse for why we're not satisfied. We'll say, I can't do anything about it. Or we'll just wait and hope that it gets better. And let me tell you from experience, it does not get better. It usually gets worse. And so you can be aware of those four traps: blame, excuse, say I can't, or wait and hope. And when you look at why you're not satisfied and you see that you're living in one of those excuses, that's where you have not taken accountability. But if you get to the place like I did, where you say, wait, nobody cares. Nobody cares if you're fat, miserable, unhappy with your marriage, broke. Nobody cares unless you care enough to do something about it and own it. But that is when you gain the power to change it. And it's really cool. My beautiful wife, Kathy, and I were $90,000 in debt that did not include the house or the cars. And it was really wrecking our lives. And in 2019, we said, we can't live like this anymore. So, through a long series of decisions, we decided to sell our house. And we took our beautiful 3,500 square foot home with the movie theater upstairs and all this great stuff. And we sold it all the furniture, the home. And we moved into this little rental that we live in now. In the March of 2020, and we paid off all of our debt. The days that COVID shut down the world, we got debt free and had nothing to worry about. And it was amazing the peace that we had. We didn't have any furniture. We were sitting on folding chairs, and we had beds and dressers because we could take those, but the couches wouldn't even fit in our house. And so we had to sell everything, and we had folding chairs and folding tables, and we were happy. Because we weren't prisoners to our bad decisions anymore. And we had hope and we had excitement about the future. And then because of that, my mind got clear. I got positive about my life. I got positive about my situation. And we started to own everything. We went to marriage counseling. We started working on our faith again and stopped blaming God for the bad decisions we made that we wanted Him to clean up. We looked at how we're spending our lives raising our kids. All these things became something we felt like we could do something about because we had conquered the worst thing. And the power that came with that and the confidence that, dude, we could do anything. We just got out of $90,000 of debt. Let's go tackle this. Let's tackle this. And my business took off. And I'm telling you, accountability brings freedom and hope and power.
I love that. So let's repeat that for our listeners here. Tell us your website again, where people can go and take this assessment again, just so in case you missed it.
Nobodycaresbook.com.
Nobody cares with an S.
Yep.
Book.com.
Dot
Okay,
com.
great. Awesome. One of the things I also really liked that you said there, Robert, you talked about how you sold your house, and some people could say, oh, wow, I had to sell my house. But you said you were happy. And that was such a great thing. The freedom you felt, even though you had to maybe downsize. The emotional freedom, you actually took a huge step up,
Oh,
right?
yeah. Oh,
Even
yeah.
if you feel like, hey, I didn't have my house, the same house, because you had freed yourself from things. So it obviously, our life is not about what you own. It
No,
really isn't, is it?
no. And I've been broke before. I was married to my daughter's mom for 10 years. And then she decided she wanted to go in a different life direction. And she left one day and took my 2-year-old daughter and served me papers at work. And I went through a bankruptcy and I lost everything. And it was a really, really hard time in my life. So I know what it's like to lose everything and start over. That one I didn't choose, that one I got. And so I know what it's like to be without. And when you get to the bottom, you look around, you go, I'm not any happier with all that stuff than I was right now. But having a life where you don't have arguments and stress and worry and fear, that's way better than stuff. And I think that's the turning point where you look at your life and go, am I satisfied? That's why you take the satisfaction assessment. I'm not satisfied with this. I'm not satisfied. Well, let's do something about it. And in the book, we tell you that when you get to that place where you say, nobody cares until I do, and then you're willing to change, then you acknowledge reality, you embrace the suck, you find a solution, and you make it happen. That's the last part of the book. And we walk you through all these things. We know it's hard. We know it's emotional, but we walk you through the tools to be aware of where you're playing the victim, getting to that moment of owning it, and then the plans to move forward and change your life.
So empowering. And you know, as long as something out there, I mean, it's a lot of people say, well, it's not my fault. It's her fault, or it's his fault, or it's their fault, or it's your fault. And that in the short run, it might make you feel better because you don't have to take responsibility. See, it's almost like taking this Advil or this Tylenol. They're like, well, it's not really my fault, so I don't have to take responsibility.
Yeah.
But in the long run, you remain imprisoned, right? Because you're still there. And as soon as you can say, it's my problem, I own it, as you said, then you can make decisions to get out of that situation. Yes. You can, to get out of that mental thing. Or as you said, I really like what you said. You know, you said maybe you didn't have learned – it quite what you maybe could have learned as a child because of the family situation. And you're saying I had to own that situation and make different choices, right? Instead of saying, oh, I just got this script from someone else, I'm going to take that and run with it. Now I'm going to do something different.
If you were to be truly honest and narrate your life in front of random people and go, and then I decided to be angry at the world and to be sullen and to complain. And I decided that I would just look at life negatively. They'd look at you like you're an idiot, but we don't spin it that way. We go, well, I had a bad father and, you know, I wasn't given the luxuries of rich people and I didn't have the opportunity to do this. And I just can't do this because I've got these kids and, you know, that you just make all these things that hold you back. We spin it in such a way that we feel good, but we keep ourselves as a victim.
And they're lies. What I'm saying is,
and they are lies.
They're also lies because, like, you could change your situation, right? Like, you're not destined if you had it's not your destiny. Your past isn't your destiny, right?
We hear people say things like, well, I can't do that. But what you really mean is, I won't. And if you change the word I can't to I won't, then you have to go, well, why won't you? Well, that'll be hard. Yeah, so is being a victim.
Right.
Your life's going to suck either way for a while. You're going to stay as a victim and it's going to suck, or you're going to go through some really hard times of change. But at the end, it doesn't suck anymore because you went through the suck. You embrace the suck and you get through the hard things. Selling my house sucked. Losing all the great things we had acquired and developed for pennies on the dollar sucked. But it was the solution we needed. And the joy of being on the other side of that was amazing.
Yeah. I love that. The short-term hard way is really the long-term easy way. Like, embrace it. You know, go in and say, I'm going to go through this. I'm not going to avoid it. Try to put it as your fault anymore. I'm just going to embrace that I made some bad decisions. I own it. I now can change. And as soon as you say, I made the bad decision, that's the moment where you can say, well, now I can choose otherwise. If you always blame it on someone else, you're in that thing where you can't change because it's their fault and they have to change before you do.
Yeah. We say in the book that the moment you take accountability for anything or for everything in your life is the moment you gain the power to change anything in your life. And when I looked at my journey and business was bad and the climate and the customers and all these things, stock market, you know, pick your excuse, man. If you argue for the reasons why you suck, eventually you're right. You do suck. But the reality is you can be all the things you want to be if you are intentionally owning it and working towards something. We prove that in our own lives.
Love that. Wow, such an empowering message, Roberts. This is such an empowering message. And it reminds me, I want to talk about one more thing. I went to a renowned marriage counselor once, and I asked this renowned marriage counselor, I said, what would you tell marriages? Like, what would you tell people in marriages, one thing that would help them more than anything else? And his answer kind of surprised me. He said this. He said, I would tell people that they're responsible for their own feelings. In other words, we're not responsible for other people's feelings. What I mean by that is, if I'm angry, I'm choosing that emotion. She doesn't make me mad. He doesn't make me mad. My wife or my husband or my spouse or my business associate or my child, they don't make me mad. I actually choose it. He goes, if people would realize that they can choose, and as you say, I like how you use the word own, even their feelings, he said it would make a huge difference in marriages. And he goes, this is what he said next. It was really interesting. He goes, most people don't get this until they're about 50 years old, and some people never get it.
How sad is that? How sad. This is why we need to teach our children more than math. This is why, and I know this is just the world we live in. All of our both parents work and we're busy, and we think that maybe the teacher will help our kid learn something really cool. And then we come home and we're exhausted, and our kids are watching TV. We just want, just give me an hour to just give me a little break from my day. And then they go to bed and we don't talk. And then all of a sudden they grow up and we're like, well, what happened to that guy? Well, you need to own it proactively. Here's the difference between responsible and accountable. Responsible is you respond to something and you take the blame. Accountable is says, I'm taking account of what I have and I'm proactively creating the outcome I want. So if I have kids, I can own later on when they become a guy who can't get a job and can't be responsible and they live in my basement the rest of their lives. I can deal with that. I can own that consequence. But what I should do is proactively create what I want him to do, which is to be confident and responsible and thoughtful and reliable so he can get a job and move out and go do his own life. So I have to do stuff proactively towards that direction. And so you need to get off this thing about, well, I'm responsible for stuff. Sure, you can get the blame, but it's harder to actually proactively do something to get what you hope to be with the outcome would be. That is accountability. You're investing towards where you want to be intentionally.
I love that, Robert. What else? What other advice would you give our audience for people who say, you know what, maybe I haven't been accountable. I want to be more accountable. Any other advice? You can go to your website and take that assessment, which is a great tool. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners. What else would you recommend?
This is something I'm really working through lately. Don't be lazy. And I use that word intentionally because that's an offensive word. If you someone says you're lazy, you're like, don't say that. But what else would be the word that would get you off your butt and get going? Lazy is that you know you should be doing this and you don't. You know you should spend less money than you earn, but you don't. You know you should talk through difficult conversations with your spouse so you don't end in divorce, but you don't. You know you should tell your kids no more often so they get to develop a delayed gratification lifestyle where the impetuousness of a child is reined in with a little bit of pulse and pace and value. So you know these things, but you don't do them. Why? Because it's hard work and because you're lazy. And when lazy people get nothing, they get whatever they get, and it's just the dregs. And then you bitch about your life for the rest of your life. Oh, I don't have this. And yeah, but you chose it. You're the one who allowed these things to happen. So don't be lazy. Look at your life and be honest with yourself. This is what I want my life to look like. What's it going to take to do to get that? You could figure that out, but then you got to own it and you got to aggressively work towards the relationship, the health, the faith, all the things you want. You got to work towards them. Lazy people don't get that. And they're miserable and angry at the world. Don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy. Yeah. Get comfortable with discomfort. It's going to be uncomfortable, right? Like do the thing that you don't want to do and do it
Short-term
first.
discomfort, long-term benefit. Absolutely.
I don't want to do a certain thing. I'm kind of avoiding it. That might be a signal that you should do that first thing,
Maybe, maybe.
right?
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
one thing that you don't want to do that you know you should, do it now.
Yeah.
Do it
Yeah.
today. Oh,
Well,
I
it's
love
there.
that. Words of wisdom. It's
Thank
not
you.
easy, but it's worth it to be accountable.
I agree.
I love that. Is there any last thing you would say? And then I'd like to ask you to how people can find you. This has been a great conversation, Robert. How can people find you? But if you have
Yeah.
any last thoughts that you would like to share with our audience before we go.
I would. Accountability is best served up in groups. And real accountability requires vulnerability. And so if you're not being honest with yourself, you can't go this journey. So it starts with you being honest with yourself. That's why you take the satisfaction assessment and you honestly answer where you are looking at your life. But then if you really, really want to change and you really want accountability, you must share it with somebody. You must take the assessment and go, this is how I see my life. This is what it looks like in my personal and professional life. And let them walk the journey with you. And then you would say, well, that's embarrassing. I don't want someone getting in my business. Fine, then stay a victim your whole life. But if you want real change, you're going to have to invite someone into the journey. And a lot of your friends won't be supportive of your desire to stop being a victim because they like playing a victim. And when you start changing your life, you're going to threaten their existence. No, well, just settle down. What are you getting all hyped up about this and that for? Well, because I don't like my life. Oh, your life's fine. Don't let those people tell you no. If you know this is the life you want to live and you want to go change it, find some people who will support you in your journey to be the best version of yourself. Don't mishear me. I'm not saying if you don't like your spouse, leave her today so you have the life you want. I'm saying go to counseling, have a conversation, be honest, give up something, learn to serve, learn to communicate. But don't just stay there in a horrible situation and complain about it. Do something, own it. And then invite someone into your journey. It's probably not your spouse if it's a problem with your spouse, but invite someone in who will encourage you. I'm going this direction. Will you walk with me? Will you encourage me as I try to live the life that I really want? And let them be a part of that, because otherwise you won't do it. You'll make these little decisions, you'll hide them away. And then when you quit, nobody knows, because nobody knows where you were going.
That's right. So make it so that it's hard to break your commitment that they can hold you, right? Start in a group, even though you've got to be the one that holds accountable. And I
Right.
heard somebody say one thing. I heard somebody say one of the best things he ever did is he reached out, I think it was to 20 people who were close to him on an email. And he goes, "I want you to be brutally honest. How can I improve?" And something, it was worded slightly different than that. Goes, "Be just tell me, I want to know. Like, don't sugarcoat it. Tell me how I can improve." And getting that feedback, he said, was super, super valuable. Super,
That's
super
awesome.
valuable to have somebody tell you and then say, "Okay, now I'm going to make commitments to do that." So, whether it's one thing or the other, whatever it is, I like that too. And there's different ways to do it. Some people say, "Well, you have to go to marriage counseling." Well, I know one thing that, one of the things that years ago my wife discovered, there was this course by Tamara Fackrell. It's an online course. It's on Teachable called Mindful Marriage. One of the best things we ever did was we got this program, Tamara Fackrell's Mindful Marriage program, and we started listening to her videos. She had these little short videos. That was enough to get some conversation started with us where we were able to kind of work out some of the log jams we had or some of the things that kept occurring. And so it could be as simple as maybe you do go to a counselor, maybe you do go get a course, maybe you have that hard conversation, maybe you start dating your spouse and make it religious. Every week we're going to go on a date, we're not going to take the kids, we're going to go and have a good time. We're going to pray together every morning. We're going to do a little study together every day. And it's a little bit out of your norm and comfort zone, but that's okay. Like, let's get out of our comfort zone. Let's embrace the suck, as you say, right?
How bad do you want it? How bad do you want the life you really want? The world is full of people who will complain and do nothing. And I believe if you really want something that you don't have, you have to decide how much it's worth, and you have to be willing to own the journey to get it. This is not a feel-good, get-rich kind of dreamer, you can own it kind of baloney. This is hard work. It was hard to sell my house. It took us 6 months to sell it. And we had to do a lot of work to get it ready to sell, to make enough money to pay off all our debt. And then we had to go pay off our debt, and we had to move. It was a lot of hard work. It was a year of readjusting all of our expectations and things we were doing, but it was well worth it. And I wouldn't change it for anything. And my life is way better than it's been in the last 20 years because we own everything.
Robert, what a great conversation. Thank you for your words of wisdom today. How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, go to nobodycaresbook.com. You can buy books from us there, and we'll autograph it and send it out to you. And we want to get you in our community. We want to hear your story. We want to know how you're doing to become accountable and how you're walking that journey. So we want to talk to you by email. So come join us at our website. I'm on social media. You can find me on LinkedIn if you're a business person. I run peer groups for CEOs here in DFW. So if you're listening to this and you're a business owner in DFW, look me up at REF Dallas, refdallas.com. That's my company. We can learn more about what I do there. But I'm always available. If someone emails me, I will email them back. I want to support people as they learn the journey of accountability.
That's great. And you said nobodycaresbook.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's where you order a copy of the book and watch some videos and get involved in our community. For your podcast, I created a unique URL called nobodycarespod.com. And if you go to that place and you fill out the contact form and you put in the code word principal, I will mail you a copy of my book at no cost, so that you can really, if you really want to read it and change your life, I will send you a book for free to the first two people who will respond on the podcast with that submission form.
So just use the word principal for the principal podcast. That's very kind of you, Robert, to make that available to our listeners. Thank you so much. And give that website one more time so people can get to it again.
For the book that I'm mailing you for free, it's nobodycarespod.com.
And then use the code
Code
principal to get a
word
free
principal.
book.
Principle.
Thank you, Robert. That's wonderful. And for those of you who want to follow Robert or get his more of his wisdom, what a generous offer to our audience today, Robert. And we thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. This was fun.